Good morning, everyone. I usually start out with what a beautiful day it is. Got spoiled this morning. But I guess we have to accept the rain. It's trying to bless us with catching up with all we missed out on this summer. I'm sure that everyone has heard the quote, "To err is human, to forgive divine." It's a quote from Alexander Pope, an English poet and satirist who lived in the latter part of the 17th and early part of the 18th century. This quote has been around for a long time. Now, I don't know exactly what he intended by his statement, since I never read the essay that contained it, but I'm sure that he meant that as humans, we are much better at making mistakes, and God is much better at forgiving our mistakes and our errors. What is forgiveness anyway? Well, to get that answer, once again, where do you think I went? My favorite website, Wikipedia. We seem to hear that just about every week. But Wikipedia says the following. Forgiveness is the mental and or spiritual process of ceasing to feel resentment, indignation, or anger against another person for a perceived offense, difference, or mistake, or ceasing to demand punishment or restitution. It goes on to say that this definition, however, is subject to much philosophical critique. Forgiveness may be considered simply in terms of the person who forgives, in terms of the person forgiven, and or in terms of the relationship between the forgiver and the person forgiven. In some contexts, it may be granted without an expectation of compensation and without any response on the part of the offender. For example, one may forgive a person who has died. In practical terms, it may be necessary for the offender to offer some form of acknowledgement, an apology, and or restitution, or even just ask for forgiveness in order for the wrong person to believe that they are able to forgive. Most world religions include teachings on the nature of forgiveness, and many of these teachings provide an underlying basis for many varying modern-day traditions and practices of forgiveness. However, throughout the ages, philosophers have studied forgiveness apart from religion. In addition, as in other areas of human inquiry, science is beginning to question religious concepts of forgiveness. Psychology, sociology, and medicine are among the scientific disciplines researching forgiveness or aspects of forgiveness. Instances of teaching on forgiveness, such as the parable of the prodigal son, which we've heard recently, and Mahatma Gandhi's forgiveness of his assassin as he lay dying, are well-known instances of such teachings and practices of forgiveness. Some religious doctrines or philosophies place greater emphasis on the need for humans to find some sort of divine forgiveness for their own shortcomings. Others place greater emphasis on the need for humans to practice forgiveness between one another. Yet others make little or no distinction between human and or divine forgiveness. Well, that's certainly the long-winded definition of forgiveness, and I hope that I haven't started to put people to sleep before I actually even got into my message. But it's been said that forgiveness is the gift that we give to ourselves. Now think about that for a minute. When we forgive someone, more important than the fact that we are forgiving that person who we believe injured us in some way, is the fact that it releases us from the burden of anger and pain. When we make the choice to forgive, we make the choice to live in the present and the future instead of the past. Because that's exactly what we're doing when we hold on to resentment. We are clinging to the past and to what is a perceived wrong against us, and in many cases it's only a perceived wrong. And failing to let go, failing to forgive, is merely locking ourselves in the past and not wanting to move on. Moving on to the here and now and into the future. Forgiveness doesn't necessarily have to mean that we forget, but it does mean that we have to move on. We have to get past this. Forgiveness never happens on its own. It doesn't happen just by chance. It's a choice. We have to make a conscious decision to forgive. And we know from Christ's teachings that He expects forgiveness from us. And if we can't learn to let go and move on, how can we expect God to let go and move on when it comes to the forgiveness that we so desperately need for all the wrongs that we have committed against Him? Wikipedia mentioned Mahatma Gandhi's forgiveness of his assassin as he lay dying, but we certainly know from scriptures what Jesus did as He hung from the cross. We know the famous words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And we find that recorded in Luke chapter 23, verse 24. Jesus sometimes spoke of what seemed to be conditional forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, we read, "Forgive us the wrongs that we have done as we forgive the wrongs others have done us." And in Luke chapter 6, verse 37, "Forgive, and you will be forgiven." It certainly sounds as though Jesus is making it clear to us that forgiveness from God is conditional. It's conditional and it's predicated on our forgiveness of others. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins." When we've been hurt, abused, or insulted, it seems like the natural thing to do, the instinctive thing to do, is to strike back, to plot revenge, or sometimes just simmer in bitterness. Often you will hear the excuse, "Well, it's only human." First of all, this is not an excuse, because when we act on instincts, we aren't acting human. We're acting primal. And we are not primates. We are humans, and we have the ability to go beyond acting on instincts. We can think, we can make choices and decisions. And if we're going to give up that ability, or at least give up the use of that ability, we are not really acting as humans at all. God created us with the ability to reason and to make choices, based hopefully on logic. And failing to forgive is just not logical. And it's not logical because, as I said, forgiveness is the gift that we give ourselves. It's not logical that we should be punishing ourselves. The only person who suffers from our failure to forgive is us. The person we're not forgiving very often doesn't care. It's us holding that pain and suffering and that bitterness inside. We're the ones that are being hurt. Holding a grudge is like nurturing a cancer. A cancer that just continues to eat at us until it eventually consumes us. And the worst thing of all is that this cancer cannot help but come between us and our God. It creates an obstacle, a virtual wall between us and God. Jesus said that man cannot serve two masters. We all know that story when He talked about that. But in the same respect, you cannot hold on to hatred and love at the same time. You cannot hold on to resentment inside of you and have love at the same time, because they just flatly cannot coexist. You cannot have your heart filled with hatred and love at the same time. It does not work. And you can't fake forgiveness. It can't be just for show. I know that we can all remember at least one time that as a child, we were forced to forgive someone. We all remember when we had to say, "Sorry." while some adult watched over us. Was this really repentance or forgiveness? Maybe in a few cases it was, but I'm sure it was a very few rare cases. To be honest about it, it was usually nothing more than a temporary cessation of hostilities, meant only for the sake of the adults. And most likely, at the same time we were saying sorry, we were plotting our revenge for when our parents weren't watching. We're not children anymore, and we're not being forced by anyone to say sorry, but we need to be willing to say it, and not only say it, but to mean it. And most of all, to not be hypocritical about it or faking it when we say it. God isn't fooled by our faking or our insincerity. He sees when our words and our hearts don't match. We can't say one thing and mean another and get away with it. God sees within our hearts. In Mark chapter 7, verse 6, Jesus replied, "You hypocrites! Isaiah described you beautifully when he wrote, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. These teachings are but rules made by men.'" Another method that we often try to use when it comes to forgiving is forgetting. Forgetting is forgiving is clearly a false concept. Forgetting is not forgiving. But the reverse is true. If we forget, or if we forgive, we eventually do forget. But clearly, the reverse of that is not true. Forgetting is not forgiving, but what it is denial. And denial just doesn't get it either. We read in 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, says, "Anyone who professes to be in the light, yet hates his brother, is still in darkness." If we attempt to achieve forgiveness by merely trying to put the offense, this perceived wrong against us, out of mind, we might be fooling ourselves and others, but we haven't forgiven. But the problem is that all emotions and all the hurts are still there when we try to forget. They're just being held back by force and deliberate denial. But then we see that person, the offender, and all that bitterness just comes back again. Then we can see just how completely ineffective that method is. We don't forget without forgiving. Denial is flimsy, it is fake, and it is shallow. But forgiveness is robust, it's solid, and it's deep. True forgiveness is not an avoidance of the truth, but it is dealing with it squarely, no matter how painful. And it definitely can be painful. If we're going to really forgive, we are going to have to do it God's way, with our eyes wide open. There's no shortcuts, no easy way, just the right way. Hebrews 8, chapter 8, verse 12 says, "For I forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." And the order of that is important. Forgiveness first, forgetting second. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25, "I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more." And we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26, 27, and 31, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice." God's message here in Ephesians is pretty clear. Do not stay angry for more than a day. It's not something that we want to sleep on. There are a lot of things that we want to sleep on, but believe me, anger is not one of them. We need never get comfortable in our anger. And the longer we hang on to it, the more comfortable it seems. And the harder it is to deal with it. If we feel that someone has wronged us, the first thing that we need to do is step back and take a really good look at it. Did we just misunderstand? Did we maybe just assume that something that may not be the case? That happens sometimes. We're so fragile. We're so easily offended. And often for no good reason whatsoever. And then we hold this grudge. And if we realize that there is something really there, we need to deal with it. Talk with the person. Confront the problem. Deal with the issue. But above all, be willing to forgive. Forgiveness may be divine, but that is not an excuse for us not doing it. It just means that it may not come quite so easy for us. But it doesn't mean we can't do it. Matthew 5:44-48. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? And are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. We read in Luke chapter 17, verses 3-5, so be careful how you live. If your brother offends you, take him to task about it, and if he is sorry, forgive him. Yes, if he wrongs you 7 times in one day and turns to you and says, I'm sorry 7 times, you must forgive him. God is the author of forgiveness, and yes, God can forgive every single sin. No matter how bad, no matter how terrible it may seem. But forgiveness, to be complete, we need to receive it. We need to accept it. We need to claim it. And let God's forgiveness work in our hearts and in our lives. And often that is the most difficult part of all. Sometimes we have a very difficult time accepting forgiveness from God. You know, there's just something extremely gracious and wonderful and sometimes even unbelievable about God's forgiveness. We don't often tend to be that way. We want to hold grudges and we want to add conditions for our forgiveness. We need to accept God's forgiveness, but God will never force it on us. He never forces anything on us. We were created to be free to choose. And part of that free choice, that free will, is our freedom to accept or even ignore what God wants for us. And that definitely includes choosing to either accept or ignore God's forgiveness. I know that for some of us, accepting God's forgiveness is the hard part. For some it can be so difficult, and for some maybe even nearly impossible, because there are some of us who have never experienced forgiveness, either from our parents, family members, or friends. It's something completely foreign to us. Then there are some who only know conditional forgiveness. I'll forgive you only if you promise to never do that again. And we know God doesn't work that way. He understands that we may very well do it again. But when we ask for forgiveness with a sincere heart, He forgives. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 21 and 22, when Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. And he doesn't even mean 77 times. It's unlimited. As many times as somebody asks for forgiveness, we are to forgive. God doesn't hold it and say, oops, that's 77, sorry. Reinhold Niebuhr, a Protestant theologian, said, "Nothing worth doing is completed in our lifetime. Therefore, we are saved by hope. Nothing true or beautiful or good makes complete sense in any immediate context of history. Therefore, we are saved by faith. Nothing we do, however virtuous, can be accomplished alone. Therefore, we are saved by love. No virtuous act is quite as virtuous from the standpoint of our friend or foe as from our own. Therefore, we are saved by the final form of love, which is forgiveness." Mark chapter 11, verse 25, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Colossians 3, 12 and 13, "You are God's chosen race, his saints. He loves you, and you should be clothed in sincere compassion, in kindness and humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with one another. Forgive each other as soon as a quarrel begins. The Lord has forgiven you. Now you must do the same." And in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, "Let there be no more bitter resentment or anger, no more shouting or slander, and let there be no bad feelings of any kind among you. Be kind to each other. Be compassionate. Be as ready to forgive others as God has forgiven you." C.S. Lewis said, "To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you." I think that we really need to think about that. God all too often has to excuse what we consider to be the inexcusable in us. How can we think of not doing the same to others? How can we follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, the teachings of agape love, unconditional love, for our God, for each other, not be ready to excuse even the inexcusable in others, the same as God has done with us? And the answer is simple. We can't. I said earlier, anger and love cannot coexist. If we have love or claim to have love for one another, for ourselves, for our spouse, we absolutely cannot try to hold on to anger and expect that one will not destroy the other. Anger, unforgiveness is a cancer. It will destroy love. And if it destroys love, what it really does is it destroys our link to our God. For love is that link. Love is the key. And recall from Paul, Paul tells us without life, love, life is meaningless. And we have nothing. So remember that. Forgiveness is love. Without love, we have nothing. Let's close this morning in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would teach us to be forgiving as you are forgiving. We pray that we may learn to forgive those who trespass against us as you forgive us our trespasses. Help us, Lord, to understand that these are not just words, that they have meaning, and not abiding by them has consequences. We pray this morning that you would soften our hearts and pray that you would teach us the kind of love that you have for us. For you laid down the life of your one and only Son so that we may have life everlasting. All these things we pray this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus, the living and risen Christ. Amen.